When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hi, everyone. Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Delaney, Julia G. White, Will Kramer, Mary Nettle, Chris Adams, Christine, Karen Cross, Mary Malek, Kalios, Jasmine Tyrell, Saruna Jam, Den Glanzig, Professor Ampersand, Benjamin Hiebsch, Vilte, Baliu Tavi Kute, Angela, The Geek Gene, Doug Standish, Saj Hu, Riki Tiki. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards. Welcome to the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell. With me today, I have...
Ben Meredith. Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
And Alan Gould.
And who are you... Oh, wait. No one. We're playing no one. We are playing ourselves
ben
today.
Meredith.
Ben Meredith.
That's just all
I was hoping to play Ben Meredith for once. He's the best one.
It would break me if you were to play each other as characters. Like, it would break my brain.
I'm so lovely. Have a hug.
We should actually, at one point, Freaky Friday.
I mean,
the
people still say they can't tell our voices apart when we're just talking normally.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's.
I can't tell mine and Johnny's voice apart when we're recorded.
Everyone sounds the same once you pitch shift them down 100%.
Generic man.
So, we are in our season break at the moment, and as part of that, we are recording some special side stuff, and today is recap day!
More of it now!
I hope you brought your revision books, and what's that? Last time it took 2 full episodes? Yeah. Let's not do that again. So,
Speedrun!
Oh,
ladies and
awesome
gents.
Awesome plots done quick. Yeah.
You are going to... tell me and our listening audience and any new people, if you're joining, this is a great one to jump on. Good for you. Ben won't pick a fight with you the way he normally does if you jump
on
any other episode.
It's actually sensible to do it now.
So, you are all going to recount the entire campaign to moi. I will point out if there's anything that's openly wrong, but apart from that, let's see if we can get this done in an episode. There is bonus XP for anyone that does it. What's that? XP doesn't really track in the system because of the way I play it? I don't care.
Tell me what's been going on again.
Right, so at the beginning, Zolf, who was a sad sea dad, saw a guy called Figgis, and the Figgis was rubbish, and then Bertie came in and he was like, all right, you're less rubbish. Little did he know. Then they walked out down the street, it was a lovely day, they saw a woman getting attacked, so they were like, oh, obviously we have to be on her side. Ironically, of course, little did they know, Sasha was more dangerous than all of them put together. And so they were like, hey, we'll rescue you, and she was like, don't need it, but I really appreciate the gesture. So, like, friends? And then, like, a little gap gambling man was walking by and he was like, you, I know you from university, I've got nothing else to do, how about we hang out? And Bertie was like, all right, Hamid, join the club.
Little gambling man.
How are there still discoveries for you to make? I love it.
Because I forget.
And then they got a job guarding a house. A big place, you know.
A
like
big house.
Auditorium is the word. Where they were Tesla. No,
you
Edison.
You are now 1/100th of the way through the campaign.
Edison was showing off the simulacrum. The simulacrum is like a robot, but no one knows the word robot in this system. It's one of those jokes. I promise you it's funny in context. We did a really bad job and it got blown up.
Stolen and Edison got blown up.
Instead of guarding the party, we got invited to the party because the toffs recognised other toffs and just invited them in.
Yeah, I mean, but that, like, essentially,
Chessington
we did a bad job.
Wellington, was it?
Yeah.
It's Colgate and Wellington.
Chessington, Wellington.
No, Colgate was there. Colgate wasn't in the carriage.
Colgate?
Yeah. I was going through this quite fast. And they're just saying names now.
So the simulacrum got blown up by some thieves who made off with it.
It got stolen and taken apart, but they used the medium of explosion to mask the stealing of it. It didn't look like they blew it up.
I mean, that maybe that's how they dismantled it. We don't know.
Did Edison die?
Edison is super dead.
Oh, Soup's dead. Like, he's over there, there, and over there.
I know what you mean this time. Yeah.
Couldn't have happened to a nicer man. Anyway.
We rescued some diplomats from the ensuing fire.
We did.
And then started tracking the people who'd stole the simulacrum.
This is all like episode one.
No, we're on to episode like five.
Yeah. And then, so we tried to go after them. They blew up a tunnel, so Sasha couldn't keep following them. Then we wandered around a bit, went to other London. Plot! What happened?
Feel like that might be the bit you want
to... We were hired to track the simulacrum.
Oh, yeah.
And so we found part of it at the bottom of a big pool of poo.
Basically.
Zol found it at the bottom of a big pool of poo, because he swam.
A lot of poo happened, but
he was
I'm skipping
very
over
poo,
that.
Was
I
no,
got,
he was
I got
just
decorum.
He was poo neutral.
I need to go and listen to the poo episode.
Is that an alignment like true neutral?
Yeah.
So Sasha was like, "Please, can we not go to Other London? That's where I just escaped from." And everyone was like, "No, because
this time we'll
plot."
Keep you safe.
Yeah, they didn't. We immediately got captured.
like you made it you,
straight away.
Yeah, and this is Barrett, right? Yeah, by her evil family. So then we had a conversation with Barrett. He was flanked by two spooky.
He brought one spooky guy. In.
One who somehow flanked.
To like read
on
our minds.
And now it's as we know now, it was a squizzard.
Squizzard.
But we didn't know for like. Three years. But yeah, there was a spooky tall person in a hood. And they were like, you should do something. And he was like, okay, follow these guys. They got a bomb.
Gave Hamid the ring.
Oh, yes.
At that point as well.
Put a ring on it because he
liked it.
Liked it.
Yeah.
You are very handsome.
Then,
mechanically true.
Then we went and we chased after the people.
He gave us direction to their compound.
Yeah. We went,
and no one remember their names as a group.
Jeremy. Yeah.
You know the Jeremy gang.
Yeah. I know the guy.
Jeremy et al.
I'm pretty sure the guy was called Jeremy.
He was.
Was that
yes,
like Acrobat Crush?
He was. He was called Jeremy.
They were called the Serpentines.
Yes.
I was right. You all laughed at me for saying Jeremy.
Well, no, because he asked what the name of the gang was, and you said Jeremy. That's not the answer to that question.
No, he actually said, "Do you remember what their name was?" I said Jeremy, and then he said the gang.
So we basically bossed that fight and picked up a dog along the way.
You say Brutal. We bossed. Yeah. Sasha bossed that fight.
Oh, yeah. Hamid vomited in a corner. What's your point?
He vomited in a doorway.
That is season one bossing it.
Yeah, and then Bertie split a man in half.
That's why Hamid vomited.
Yeah.
And Zolf was like, let's drown a bunch of people. And everyone was like, that's new. Okay.
And we're like, of course
it's a drowning.
We've known you for a day.
Yeah, your kink is not my kink, and that's okay.
High treason. That's a drowning.
You know, much like Sasha's kink is opening doors she's explicitly told not to open.
Sasha's kink is obviously someone doing a backflip off of a roof, as demonstrated by that episode.
She's parkour sexual.
I love the fact that you still remember Jeremy's name like 4 years on. He's never turned up again. He just disappeared. But
she'd know that jump anywhere.
Then Sasha opened an explosive shed.
Yeah, she did, and she got exploded for one of the first times.
Yes.
Picking up her first scar of the campaign. Though, let's be honest, she probably had a lot preceding that.
We found a notebook that contained a bunch of details about the simulacrum.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we took it back to Haringey.
Good memory!
The detective friend.
Sergeant Haringey.
Yep, who hired us.
Sergeant. Yeah, we didn't take it back to Haringey, the London borough.
Well, it's in London!
Yeah,
so
I know,
like...
right? We took it back to Haringey.
Is that what all the police are called? So you've got
I kind of wish. Oh, there definitely will be now, though. No, barking will be part of the K-9 unit.
So we took the ringleader back to Haringey. Turned out it was Lord Byron's younger sister.
Byron had been at the party. He's our mate now.
Oh, yeah, he was at the party, yeah.
I think basically the Prime Minister turned up.
Effectively, it was the...
Was it the Deputy Prime Minister because the Prime Minister was dead?
Yeah.
So it was the new commander of the meritocratic forces, yes.
That was it.
So basically, someone from the gang of Serpentines had run off with plans to the simulacrum, and we were worried they were taking
Jeremy.
Them to the separatists, specifically the enclave of separatists hanging out in America.
Correct.
I think.
Well, that was the suspicion. Yeah,
that was the worry.
There are separate. I'll answer this question at some point. There are other separatists, but the only ones that are really kind of getting going in a visible way are doing so in America. Not brilliantly, but they're kind of there.
So we were charged, since we had discovered the notebook, to trace down people who had contributed or the information that had contributed to the construction of the simulacrum to prevent it falling into the wrong hands.
Thus we got our quest steps.
Yeah.
Which were?
There were six clues in the notebook.
Yes, there were.
Was
That's at the beginning of like a rap.
Bryn's so happy.
It's
because Bryn's face lit up when I was like, you find a thing with six clues that clearly tie to six geographical locations you'll find out later. And he's just like, great, campaign, sorted, fantastic.
There were notes about conversations in Paris cafes with a man named Francois Henri.
Yep.
There were references to research being conducted and or stored at the University of Prague.
Yep.
There was a safety deposit key. There was a strange piece of metal.
Yep.
There was a slightly weird seed.
Yep.
Metal seed.
And there was an origami crane.
Yep.
So we've done everything apart from the seed and the crane.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's very good going.
And we're probably not going to do the seed.
Yeah, we decided not to do the seed.
Well, it could still come up. I mean, we'll get there. So the first thing we needed to do, so we knew we were going to Paris and Prague, but we wanted to get more information about the other four clues in London first. We went to the bank and found out that the key was for the Cairo branch of the Al-Tahan Bank.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Conveniently.
We went to Beam and Gusset to ask about the metal.
Yeah.
And turned out that his shop had been completely trashed, and we did nothing about that.
Yeah.
Oh. We were just like, are you all right? And he was like, yeah, I'm all right. And Sash was like, all right.
Yeah, we sort of offered, and it ended up not happening.
Well, it's like, people a bit presented the idea of, like, Beaming is this, like, lovely fathery figure. Beaming is a fence that Sasha worked for a while, who has been deeply involved in weird gang stuff. As much as...
Yeah. Like, openly stated, it's fine, everything out here is basically a meaningless front anyway. I have my bags of holding full of the real stuff.
Yeah. Just like, yeah, mate. All
so
right.
So two well, two okay. interesting things.
Nice crime dad.
Yeah.
It sounds like you trusted him, though.
I've got
that's
some
very
bad
important.
Crime dads and some nice crime dads. Like, basically, if anybody wants to create the, like, super dream daddy with all of Sasha's father figures...
That would be a mess.
One,
that would
is
be
one
an absolute
solved?
Mess.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah,
probably.
Sad sea dad.
Yeah, sad sea dad. Sea dad.
Mm. Sad nice crime dad, bad crime dad.
Yeah.
Weird magic dad.
Yeah, weird magic mum dad.
Well, I mean, they're all dads, Darren. Even if the ones who are mums.
Yeah.
Significant airtime dedicated to dad discussions.
Well, it's very important. Anyway, we went to the British Museum to talk about, I think, the origami or something.
Two interesting things happened at Beam and Gusset's. So one was he told us the piece of metal was adamantine from Damascus.
Yeah.
So Damascus on the list. The other thing was he saw Zolf's ring. And I do think that's worth mentioning.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. It didn't come up for like 40
ages.
Episodes. So.
I mean, that's pretty much the tagline for this entire campaign.
So we'll come back to that.
Alex is grinning. He's like, this is the thing I'm proud of. Built a business, you know, got featured on iTunes, but this.
Genuinely no.
Being known for flashbacks.
genuinely putting down a plot hook in like episode 5, we go in, it'd be nice if this comes off. And then 100 later
the
is nice.
The squizzard really, is the longest term one, I reckon.
No, it's
so
absolutely
far.
Not.
Mm. Oh, no.
Turns out Haringey did it. He's so pleased with himself.
Figgis is totally coming back.
No, to be fair, there's the whole Wellington thing as well. Apparently one of the evil people is Wellington's son. We met Wellington in like episode 2.
I can't imagine Lego how Man complicated Man. This would be to try and listen to as a fresh listener.
Yeah. I mean, it's your job right now to make it possible.
So we went to the
British Museum.
Rings stuff. We went to the British Museum. We had some fight with some skelly bones who came out of a vase.
Because Brutor tripped over a vase.
Brutor tripped over a vase and some skelebones came out.
And then there was a flesh golem, but the flesh golem was fortunately already dead. So
you haven't actually explained who Brutor is.
Brutor
just suddenly turns up.
Brutor's
a
dog.
Yes, and I said that it was Brutor.
I misheard
that. When we bossed the Serpentine compound. Okay.
Brutor's the character I know the most about.
So we did that. Also, there was Nefertiti's veil, which Bertie was really weirdly keen to put on.
Not James. Not Bertie. James was obsessed with for no reason.
Could kill you
or double your lifespan.
Yeah.
He was obsessed with it as an item for no reason. It was bizarre.
Anyway.
What do we even know reason?
He went on about it for another year of game time.
Oh, that's because
and it never came up.
Yeah, we talked to the curator who said, hey, this crane's from Japan. Goes to Japan, maybe. It's got squid ink.
He was not able to give us very much more help.
But he said it
was the one you had the least amount of info on, actually.
But he also gave us a package to deliver to the ordinateurs.
Good memory.
So we said, yeah, fine, we're going there anyway. And then we did.
Yeah.
You have skipped Q.
Yeah.
So we went to Q to ask about the weird seed.
Yes.
Oh, Q Gardens is where you almost died?
Yes, and we met George Washington Carver.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was working there.
Yep.
Peanut Butter Man?
Peanut Butter Man.
Oh, cool.
And then we went underneath Q into the basement and there was a big fight because stuff had gone horribly
because
wrong.
It's a D&D slash Pathfinder game, and that's just how stuff rolls.
Everyone started fighting. Zolf got really angry, said to Hamid, fine, you lead the expedition.
And he did a really good job.
Yeah, he did not.
He really didn't. He was not ready.
We'd have been killed by mandrakes, except Lid had just taken bombs with Sasha, which completely saved us because, my God, mandrakes are awful.
I thought mandrakes were like the cute plant babies.
They're horrible plant babies that swarm around you. Have you ever played Halo?
No.
Okay, that's going to help. For the audience, the way I've got them imagining, you know the little flood heads that run around on the floor and jump at you?
That was what I was pretty much basing it on.
Yeah. They're like bad tribbles.
Imagine a swarm of zombie monkeys that are so gross that not only are they hitting you, but you kind of want to be sick as they're hitting you, so you can't hit back. It was not a good day.
It was a very bad day. Then we...
blew them up.
What did you learn at Q?
The seed came from Svalbard.
Which is?
No. They said basically, we don't know what that seed is. It's really weird. Try Svalbard.
It's a seed bank that exists.
Oh, yeah. At some point, Zolf had named us the London Ragers. We're still working on the name.
Yep.
So the London Ragers were still working on the name. World tour at this point encompassed 6 locations.
Yep.
And then we went to Dover to try to get to Paris, but Zolf got caught. Like, we ran into someone and turned out that he was AWOL from the Navy. Also, Poseidon's temple was there and we made a lot of fish puns.
Grossly, grossly insensitive.
Yeah, they were being really rude to, like, sort of fish people. They were making fish puns.
We were,
in front of them.
Committing,
you made so many fish puns.
Committing a ton of microaggressions.
Yeah. Well, they started at microaggressions and then it just sort of became aggressions.
Well, Bertie turns every microaggression into a macroaggression.
Yeah, it's true.
So that meant that we did a lawyer scene. Zolf, while in prison, got super into romance novels.
And that's actually plot relevant.
Yeah, that is actually
everything
relevant.
Is plot relevant. The more innocuous it is, the more plot relevant I'll make it.
It turns out the soggy cabin boy is behind the whole conspiracy.
Oh, I haven't forgotten the soggy cabin boy.
Oh my God.
That's a fish restaurant.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, no, the soggy cabin boy at that point is just a guy with like a coat going, do you want some fish?
Oh, yeah, sorry, the soggy admiral was the fish.
That's the posh one. We
were trying to work out how posh a restaurant to go to, so that we started at the soggy admiral and we went down to the soggy captain. It went all the way down to soggy cabin boy, and I think we compromised about soggy first mate.
Yeah, something like that.
Also, I now really want to go to a restaurant called the Soggy Topman, because it just sounds really funny.
The soggy topman and the soggy cabin boy will be opposite each other.
So you're in Dover. What was weird about Dover?
Floods.
Lots
and
of
rain.
Bad weather.
And riots. That was it.
Bertie shouted down a riot.
Yeah.
And then he like went into a tunnel of...
Yeah, so to get across the channel, Poseidon asked Zolf to do an act of faith. So
the High Priest of Poseidon.
He got onto a boat of driftwood and Bertie was like, I am heavy, so no. And Hamid was like, I like the idea of a boat. And Sasha was like, I don't want to spend time with Bertie. So
bearing in mind, this boat was basically a coracle.
Yeah.
Wasn't so, really a boat.
All the nice characters got on the boat and went across, nearly drowned.
Accurate.
Saw a metal tentacle
that has not come up
that
again.
That has not come up.
Some sort of squid submarine.
Yes.
Thing.
A nautilus, if you will.
Yes.
I mean, it looks important, so presumably it's not, because that's how I roll.
Yeah. Someone did an oil painting of it,
and it was wonderful.
It was incredible.
It was a really good one.
Yeah.
Was that one of our first pieces of fabric?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and I think they said that they used that piece to get into art school.
I really hope so. That's amazing.
Yeah. It was really nice.
How beautiful.
Meanwhile,
Bertie got stuck in a tunnel.
The Eurotunnel.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is already built in this world.
Didn't he almost electrocute someone?
Yeah.
Yes. He almost electrocuted the author of the romance novels.
No!
Yeah.
Whose name is?
Harrison Campbell.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Almost. But they both survived.
Yes. Well, Bertie didn't long term. But
spoilers.
This entire thing is spoilers, though. Come on.
That was the joke. Yes.
I'm sorry. Get on with the story.
Okay.
I want to hear it again!
Okay, so yeah, because of the flooding, they weren't running the Eurotunnel. So Bertie basically rich white manned his way to France.
I mean, he openly did.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Got lost, wandered around, turned up at Calais. As
filthy,
like
a scary monster.
Yeah, kind of climbed
out. I mean, he was as close to like a major terrorist incident as you could really get. It wasn't great.
The rest of us washed up on the beach and got driven to Calais by 2 eccentric old English ladies.
Who were having a race.
Yep.
Ooh. In their automobiles.
I think we might need to step back and be a little less detailed if we're going to get through all of it in an hour.
We've got 5 more minutes to get to the end of season one.
All right, so we go to Paris, Miss Ceiling happens. Right, next, let's go.
Basically, we get to Paris. Yeah. There is someone waiting there, like there's a robot man, there's Sasha's name on it. Sasha is suspicious. It invites her to a posh hotel. Sasha is more suspicious. It turns out that Sasha has a whole suite, like
the most expensive suite
in the world.
Most expensive hotel.
Yeah,
in
kept for her in
but
perpetuity.
It was genuinely for you, wasn't it? It was really nice.
She gets even more suspicious. They go and try and talk to the ordinateurs. The ordinateurs have had their heads messed with. Like
We
deliver the package. We get into the catacombs because we know something weird's going on.
We try and recreate the research a journalist did.
Yes, so we find out that the journalist was like doing all this research and then she just got her dream job in America. So she just went away. Mm. And we went and visited her mum, who was
So first we went to the newspaper where she worked and nearly got killed by the old man who worked there.
Yes, sure. Oh, that's also where you got your falcon scar, Sasha. Bertie fell off a roof on top of her.
Oh, yes. There's the thing where everyone fell over.
And then Bertie walked off.
Most dangerous point of the campaign today.
Yeah, Bertie wandered off as well, yeah. But yeah, so we go visit her mum. Basically, it's weird. Anyone who investigates the ordinateurs just kind of get their dream job and go away and it's fine. Mm. That's what we assume.
Her mum gave us really good information. Her mum was amazing. Best NPC.
Yeah, her mum was by far the most helpful NPC you guys have interacted with yet.
Then we go to the catacombs.
Yeah.
Yes, we go to the catacombs. We all die, but then Deus Ex Machina wake up and...
Oh, and all of your organs are outside.
All my organs are outside my body.
And also, Hamid destroys Zolf's other leg.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes, and then you have water legs.
So he keeps casting... Zolf keeps casting floating disc and getting pushed around like it's a hoverboard wheelchair.
Pretty much.
Which is actually pretty
cool. I mean, it worked, by the way, really well.
Yeah, good thing I took the right blooming subdomain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Mr. Ceiling, then sadness.
So then Bertie turns up.
Sadness.
So Bertie's been off having a separate adventure, finding an important artifact. The only relevant piece of that is he met a paladin of Apollo called Ed.
Yeah! Edward!
Who is as beautiful as he is stupid.
We also did find out that Newton is a bit of a...
Okay, that's fine.
Because he got there ahead of Leibniz.
There was a message from
basically
Newton.
Left a message being like, ha ha, Leibniz, you're crap, I'm great. I took all the stuff in here. Wah, wah, wah.
That's accurate.
Pretty much word for word.
So you're in Mr. Ceiling's lab and Sasha's not got her organs in the right place. And
so Zolf puts
saved.
Them back in.
Not very
does
well.
The best heel check of the campaign.
Incredibly
and
well.
He did it as well as it could possibly be done and no one ever knew apart from him.
Then Bertie turns up, everyone wakes up and is fine again, and philosophy happens.
Oh, let's not go into that.
Zolf accidentally teaches Mr. Ceiling that maybe it should try and become a god.
I mean, that's exactly how it goes.
It was a big mistake.
Yeah.
We also find out that Francois Henri created sort of Mr. Ceiling and had his memory wiped so much that he became a vegetable, fundamentally.
And your friend...
Sadness. Oh. So Barrett was providing brains, or helping to provide brains, to power Mr. Ceiling, who's basically a neural network, but like a very literal neural network.
Yeah,
that's so gross.
So back when we'd been in other London, Sasha had asked about the only friend she'd ever had, who was her cousin, who's out there. Yes. And then she says, "Oh, where is he?" And Barrett said, "Oh, he's in Paris, having as good a time as could be expected."
Oh,
and then
no.
We turn up, and Mr. Ceiling is like, "Sasha, I don't remember why I miss you."
There's so much amazing, heartbreaking fan art of that.
It is sadness.
Yeah.
So Brock's got enough like sense of self to have fiddled with the finances so that to get the hotel room. And
so it was for her.
It was love fraud.
Mr. Ceiling is an evil AI that is trying to take
actually,
over the world.
Actually, to be honest, a pretty neutral AI that maybe Zolf kind of turned
out. Oh, Zolf just... Yeah, let's
Can you be evil
on.
If you don't intend to be? Okay.
Actually, I don't know.
I mean, he wanted to...
I said no philosophy, didn't I?
Grizzop doesn't think so.
I mean, he was living by harvesting brains from people. I mean, that's pretty evil.
That wasn't his fault. Like, he was built to do that. Right?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't doing the harvesting. Anyway, everyone shut up. It's break time. Break time's over.
We didn't finish season one.
Well,
Okay, so we destroyed Mr. Sealing.
Yes.
So the world is now without internet, which is bad.
How did you destroy him? Quickly.
I forget.
Well, like, we pressed a button and everything was amazing. We went, yay! And then someone said, oh, this is lovely for Hamid. And Hamid was like, yay! This is lovely for Bertie. Yay! This is lovely for Zolf. Poseidon stuff. It's kind of, yay! This is lovely for Sasha. I don't trust this.
And it was all an illusion?
It was an illusion.
We went into the Matrix.
So, and then you came out the Matrix.
And everything was terrible.
Yep.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So then we went underneath Mr. Sealing, found its power source, found a room full of secret research, which we burned, and Sasha took a tiny orb from.
No one noticed at the time.
Then we angsted around Paris for a few episodes.
You did angst around.
That was season two, actually.
Zolf angsted around his bedroom.
Yeah.
Oh, it's true.
Go anywhere.
Sasha angsted around being Batman.
From my knowledge of the fans, Hamid angsted around outside Zolf's bedroom.
Yeah. And then, like, the city descended into food riots and stuff. Yeah. It was a whole thing.
So then there was a massive plot hook in Eiffel's Tower, which in this world is called Eiffel's Folly.
And you didn't do it.
And we fled Paris and avoided it stringently. That took a long time, but I think we fled Paris?
Genuinely not really.
We got attacked by gnome acrobats and we kicked the crap out of them.
I laid all of the groundwork for a bunch of stuff at Eiffel's Folly that never came off, so there's a reason that a bunch of stuff hasn't returned immediately, and the people that they met there are kind of like, I guess they're gone now.
Yeah.
So it's all just sort of character emotional stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't need that.
So we ran
Season
away.
Three.
The other bit that's probably worth mentioning at this point is that Oscar Wilde is our official handler.
As a
deniable asset of meritocratic intelligence.
And he's awful.
He's not awful.
He's great fun.
So it's running around Paris that we first get to know him a bit.
Yeah, so he helps us get out of Paris by doing illusions and stuff. And we get out of Paris
on an airship.
On Amelia Earhart's
airship.
She
doesn't allow Wilde with us.
Yes.
And that's when the big fight happens.
She also recognises Zolf's ring, because it turns out she's a member of an organisation
called the Harlequins.
Yes. Bonus points.
And over breakfast, we have a nice chat about how our various pasts may connect to the Harlequins. And Sasha's like, I don't want to know. And Zolf is like, this is so confusing.
Yeah.
So Zolf sulks more.
Yeah.
Bertie finds Harrison Campbell and he's very angry with him.
Finds that Harrison Campbell's on board and hunts him.
But more importantly, why is he annoyed at Harrison Campbell during that point?
Because he finds that he was writing an unflattering novel about him.
But
also very quickly as well, they also saw Guive, the meritocrat, completely blast and flatten Eiffel's Folly.
Well, that way you can't accidentally go back to old content that I've had to recycle.
Guive is one of the meritocrats.
Yep.
A dragon.
Big golden dragon.
Giant dragon.
And just flattens like central Paris. So, hey, bit of a hammer. Anyway.
Lots of people dead. Great.
So then, on the airship, Bertie finds Harrison Campbell, tries to throw him overboard, but they attach a safety rope with him and pull him in through a window. We manage to convince Bertie, they're like, oh, you should go down and check that he's there. Bertie jumps off the edge, and Zolf finds out that Bertie nearly killed Harrison Campbell, and he's like,
hero.
I'm gonna kill him!
That was the breaking point for Zolf.
Then there was a big, smashy, bad, sad thing. Eventually, Bertie gets back on board. We get to Prague, and he's like, I can't deal with this dude anymore.
Bye.
You know what we haven't talked about? The exposition box.
Oh, yeah. No one cares about what happened to Bertie. He's gone.
Bertie's got a contract to be a hero, otherwise he goes to a flaming poo dimension.
Which is how we explain the fact that he's such an awful person, but he sticks to the quest really well.
He inherited a cursed magical contract requiring him to behave in a code of chivalry that's been dead for a couple of hundred years.
Yeah. Spoilers, he didn't do it, and he's in the flaming poo dimension. Yeah.
Also, Meta, it's good to have a variety of different reasons why all your heroes are committed to the quest.
Yeah, mine's a lot more wholesome.
It really is.
Yeah.
Shock. Helen, more wholesome than James. Gasp.
I'm not. The wholesomeness is actually just like a very thin surface layer underneath it.
Phil!
I mean, Azu in a lot of ways is the equivalent of a utopia built on bones, but I go too much.
Oh my God!
Wow. So
utopia built on bones!
I mean, Zolf has been super angsty ever since Paris, and by the time he's in Prague, he basically flounces off.
I do.
He squishes off on your water legs.
Oh yeah, I got water legs. I didn't want them. Simon's like, have some water legs. Zolf was like, no, that's not the point.
You don't understand me, Dad. I'm the sad sea dad.
You can't just buy things for me and then expect that to make it better.
So you squish off.
So I squish off. And then they meet this, like, cool goblin chap.
Yeah. Ah!
Yeah.
tiniest fascist
finger guns got back.
So Grizzop is hunting someone from the university.
Yep.
Specifically Kafka. We go and confront the council about what the heck's going on.
Yep.
The council aren't evil, they're just harlequins.
Oh. Yeah, it turns out they're harlequins. So actually something that Mr. Sealing told us is that the meritocrat Bolesmok, who used to live in Prague, is actually dead.
Oh.
And had been a while.
And no one knew, basically.
But he would have been stinking.
And the
gentle repose is a
the university council has basically been, ruling Prague and pretending and covering up the fact that the dragon was dead. And they're separatists, so they're trying to be like, hey, we're humans, we're great, we're doing this. Turns out they let one of the number go bad and try and recreate some of the evil rituals of Rome.
So Kafka is evil.
Oh, super evil.
It was great.
Like, played by an English person in the Hollywood movie, evil.
It's so rare that you get to do gothic villains, so when you do, you really gotta just...
Oh, did he have a frilly shirt?
I mean, he might be the...
He was played by Christopher Lee. Yeah.
Oh!
He might be the least morally... grey.
It was wonderful. It was so refreshing.
So he filled Prague with zombies.
Yeah. So we went around cleaning up zombies for a bit.
Zombie pits, trying to disrupt the ritual.
Mm-hmm. And then that leads us to the Opera House.
Oh, the Opera House.
And we know the ritual is going to be the culmination of that happening simultaneously with the opera at the Opera House.
See, that's the distressing thing with Hamid. He's like, we can't interrupt the show. The show matters. Everyone else is like, the show is arbitrary. At which point the response is, he's a massive drama queen villain. The show's absolutely important. Oh, Hamid, you were right, but in all the wrong ways.
Okay, so your sister is performing at the opera.
Yeah,
yes.
She's the prima donna.
So, in the interest of time, there is a fight.
Yep.
Yes.
Bertie dies.
Bertie dies. Sayer? No, not Sayer. Your sister dies. What's her name?
Sayer is
the alive one.
Awkward.
Did it begin with A?
Not my job to remember.
Well, I don't have my character sheet in front of me.
Well, she's dead and gone, and Bryn has forgotten her name.
All I did
was state facts.
That's fine.
Look, okay, I'm not in character mode. Hamid would remember the name.
That's why I said Bryn. I didn't say Hamid, I said
You
Bryn.
Took Bryn away from his notes. He's now footloose, fancy free, and apparently doesn't care about your sister.
Aziza.
Yes, it was Aziza.
It did begin with A.
Yay. Well done, thank you.
But we do kill Kafka and stop the ritual going on.
Hamid turned into a little lizard.
Hamid got...
Close enough.
Yeah. Yep. Ish.
And then we turn him back.
Yep.
Good.
And then
you got arrested?
We did. We went back up to the Prague University, got arrested by the Cult of Mars because they assumed we were working with Kafka.
Why did the Cult of Mars have an issue beyond that point?
Sasha's undead now.
Yeah, he never really addressed that bit. As a result of her time with Mr. Sealing, she's been steadily turning more and more undead.
Yes.
And the Cult of Mars don't like undead.
They also, my ex-girlfriend had disappeared while in Prague and they felt I might have been somehow connected to that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Speaking of, after we dealt with the Kafka thing, the entire university board kind of disappeared.
Yeah, the rest of the university council just vanished.
So,
because they were like, oh, everyone knows we're bad now. Whoops. Bye. Yeah.
So we were like, oh, there's probably something interesting in Newton's office. So we went in there and it took ages.
Oh, yes, it was a portal dimension.
Yeah, he's got a big pocket dimension, which makes it really hard to get.
So we trekked across the floorboard.
And then onto a desk.
Yep.
Onto a desk which had a... mansion in a glass bubble.
Yep.
So we met Newton. He explained that Kafka had been there doing research, that previously to that, Tesla had been there doing research. Oh, we already knew it was Tesla because Mr. Sealing told us a lot of useful information.
Yeah, he did.
Actually, while we were
debating. The fact that it's Tesla isn't really that useful. All we know about Tesla is he screwed up the London tram system, but probably didn't. It was probably Edison's fault, and then fled to America.
Babbage and Lovelace.
With Babbage and Lovelace.
Okay, so you met Newton. Then
Then we met Liliana.
You met
Einstein?
Liliana is Hamid's ex.
Yes, and she's nasty to you.
Yes, and she was helping Kafka with his research.
I'm sure that everything that she thought was well justified.
Oh, also not on his evil research. She was, I think, literally doing her postdoc and... Kafka was her supervisor.
Oh, dear.
But was helping doing that.
But she'd also been working on a miniaturised version of the same power system that we'd found under the Mr. Sealing building that we think is the power system of the simulacra.
So we took her out.
So, we passed her on to the relevant
authorities. That makes it sound like we killed her.
Yeah, you did actually take her out of the dimension.
We removed her from the pocket dimension, and handed her over to Wiles.
Yep.
You helped yourself to, 10 bags of holding or something.
Yeah.
And some of them were full of dirt.
Yeah.
Lots of them were full of dirt.
Yeah.
You didn't know that yet. It's all good.
That's true.
And then we...
Sasha got her ice and fire daggers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Very important.
We had the orb next to a copy of the power source, and the orb from Onimus Sealing briefly reawakened, and we killed it really.
Yeah, you stabbed it quite a lot.
Yes.
There was a lot of plot in that ball, I'm sure.
There was.
Right, then after the dirt.
So then we ran into Einstein again, who turns out is the one helpful, friendly member of the university board.
And he gives us a mobile stone.
He gives us a mobile stone and teleports us to
Cairo.
Ah, yes. Which and then there was a sandstorm.
There was a sandstorm. Yep.
And how about you take over?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So
sandstorm by Darude.
You stumble around being silly, and then you stumble into a camel, and the camel has my character, Azu, on it.
I love that Helen turns up. He's like, and then you're all incompetent, but then I was there. And then you carried on being incompetent, and then I was still there.
That's how it went. Yep. I mean, I don't remember anything else.
That's how I remember it.
And then the sandstorm cleared up and you realised that you were like right in the centre of Cairo, even though you thought you were in the middle of the desert because of all the sandstorms. And I introduced you to the Temple of Aphrodite, and Aaron Fairhands was there, and like, he has no faith in me whatsoever. I attempted to be nice to all of you, but Grizzup didn't like it, and Sasha didn't like it. Hamid
went straight for the cuddle.
Yes. So you stayed there for a while. Then we went to Hamid's house.
Yes. Yep.
Because?
It was Aziza's funeral.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot about the death of your sister.
Well, apparently so did Bryn, so...
I just forgot her name. It's totally different.
And we met all your family, and your family was, like, really, like, super... Well, your dad was weird, and your brother was acting weird, and...
And everything was super tense and super sad.
Yeah, and then
it
we
was
got
pretty,
drunk.
Pretty emotional.
Yeah, but, yeah, so
at some
Sire
point, Sasha
great.
Ran away.
Yeah.
We went and got Sasha back.
Yep. And you met...
Oh, God, the worst.
Oh, Howard Carter!
Best!
There's a lot of competition, but I think he may be the worst.
You ruined his career. He was allowed to be sad.
He ruined his own career.
Yeah, he was doing... He had a bad... He was a criminal career.
And he was bad at it.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to be a career criminal if you're a good career criminal.
Someone posted on Tumblr about watching Carter flirt with Wilde just before they Carter was arrested. And someone was like... Oh, wait, this is an RPG thing. I thought you were talking about an actual historical impact. I was so confused. And I was like, oh my God, I love it.
Anyway, so he was so annoying that we had to gag him and we took him back to the mansion as well. Then he had a load of family
stuff.
We
handed him into the police.
Oh, yes.
But they were really crap.
Yeah, they were just like, we don't want to do anything. Yeah.
They kind of just let him go because he was like, did you do anything bad? No.
I think, did we not miss the actual funeral and the squizzard that was there? That
you did. You skipped all that.
Okay, well, there was a funeral. We killed a squizzard.
I don't think we forgot it so much.
That's why Sasha ran away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is why Sasha ran away.
That is why Sasha ran away.
Yeah. She thought the presence of the squizzard meant that Barrett was following there. Her and would never let her escape.
So, Hamid was busy refusing to hand the ring that Barrett gave him over to his brother, which is what Barrett wanted him to do.
Yes. It turned out that your brother was also a little gambling man.
Yeah.
And then that your dad was going to hand him in to say, I am the bad... Yeah. Because he did a murder!
Well,
your brother
did
a murder.
Didn't do
we
a murder.
Thought he did done a murder.
Yeah.
Him and Carter and some other people had tried to break into the vault for Barrett. They, I think, accidentally killed a guard, or a guard died in a scuffle, but they'd also...
The guard was part of the crew.
Oh, yes,
he
of
was
course.
A trap went off,
which
and
cursed them.
And it killed one of them, and it cursed, basically, everyone else to think that they were it was their fault. Except
That's
the difference
how
being...
That's was drinking.
Yes.
Yeah, and the difference being that Hamid's brother was like, oh, I'm so sad, and Howard Carter was like, I've doomed the world because I'm amazing and that's how I roll. That was how that went.
Just the worst.
Yes.
He was great.
We sorted that out.
My dad confessed to the crime to cover for his son.
Oh, then we nearly had a breakup.
Oh, it was bad, guys. It was bad.
Because at this point there are two paladins.
Yeah.
And we're not down with...
And we had a discussion about legality and morality and redemption.
And why rich people can't just make stuff go away.
Yeah. It was great.
This whole thing.
It's awful.
Yes.
Awful.
So what we also were doing was going to the safety deposit box.
Wait. So we got Aaron Fairhands to...
To take the
lift
curse,
the curse.
Off, yeah.
Oh, yes, of course. Mm-hmm.
And sorted that out as much as it could have been sorted out, which was not very.
Yeah.
But at least he wasn't, like, crying and drinking all the time.
We also got Aaron to diagnose Sasha as undead, and he mentioned that basically the two things we could do was kill her and resurrect her and hope that worked. Or use
turn her off and on again.
Yeah, basically. Or use her.
Yep, that was exactly what I was going for.
I think, that's what we said. Yeah.
Or use the heart of Aphrodite, which is in meritocratic custody, and they weren't going to let us lose it. So, oh, we also found out that Hammond is related to Apophis.
Because he had actually dragon.
Yeah, so then we were like, oh, this is great, because Saya is assistant to Apophis, so let's go chat to Apophis. We chatted to Apophis and said, hey, Apophis.
Apophis was nice.
We chatted to Apophis in his office with the officers.
Yes!
The Apophis officers. Yeah, that's the one.
He was like, yeah, this is cool. So let us get the Heart of Aphrodite. We went and got the Heart of Aphrodite in a spooky jail cell, along with Grizzop kicking Wild in the nuts. And that's the main important thing that I remember from that.
Well, we
used the safety deposit box to open a special little office, which was full of mostly
paperwork,
which was designed to be
just hot camouflage garbage paperwork, all coded and full of nonsense.
For a trap, and then when she found a trap, she was like, "I think this is the important thing."
So we found a single manila folder full of heavily ciphered stuff.
Yep.
So we had no idea what it said, but it was super important.
Yeah, we just gave it to Oscar Wilde, and then
like, "You sort out, we can't."
Yeah, just.
Again, there's a minor detail. Is there was also effectively. That was my reset point, peek behind the curtain, where it had all of the info you needed to have got by this point as well. Because it was like, passports, info on this. And you're like, well, we already know all this. It's like, yes, you do now, don't you? Thank God.
Yeah, so they were like shipping records to various Orc enclaves and to Japan. But we weren't sure if they mattered or not, because so much of the paperwork in that room was clear BS.
Yeah, we left well to deal with it, and then we went to go and try and heal Sasha.
Yes, and we got attacked by blokes and or lads.
Oh, yes! Yes, that was
which
terrible.
Is not important, but it
the
was
the overly evil oval attacking the officers of the Apophis office.
That's the one!
So, we healed Sasha. Sasha was alive again.
Yay!
And she got...
And I saw Brutor get given a sword at the top of a mountain, and she thought, is this heaven? Because if so, heaven is weird.
Yeah. Meanwhile, she had disappeared for us, so we were just like, oh my God, what happened?
But then I came back and it was all fine.
It was all fine, except it wasn't, because then after that, I can't remember anything apart from going to Damascus.
So, well, we got offered to clear out the newly discovered chamber full
of
traps.
Like a side quest? No, I couldn't possibly. No, I couldn't have another bite.
At some point, I got super poisoned because we nearly went down there.
Very keen to rob a pyramid.
But
Alex pushed so hard.
And Grosset was like, no, the world's ending. Yeah. Why would we go clean out a pyramid?
So we went to Damascus.
And that's why I hate Grizzop.
Hello.
Because I love Grizzop. It's the best.
We teleported into Damascus in the middle of a goblin factory floor.
And that was it.
And we pretended to be the inspectors, and it worked.
Because they did so bad on sense motive, and you guys did passably indecent.
Basically, they told us that there's a lot of different people manufacturing adamantine. And importantly, I think the only important thing that happened there is that Sasha got an adamantine dagger.
But the other important thing that happened is that they also said, oh yeah, there are a bunch of factories here, but that Clank Industries is like real dodgy, so maybe you should have a look in there. And that's kind of what we got.
So then we went and we did
so we
have
found
a
there was
look
a big water shortage in Damascus.
Mm. You briefly went to Damascus city centre and then immediately turned around and went back up
and it was proper dodgy, but we broke in.
Yes, and then there were like really horrible things in all of the different sheds.
There were manticores, but there were also simulacra in warehouses. So we
rose upon rows of evil robots poised to take over the world.
So we killed the guards, and then we sent two people, Azu and Hamid, down to tell the Damascans. But then
they had a political dance party.
They had a political dance party.
Done.
I was trying to diplomat.
Basically,
but
Barrett turned up, and Sasha was like,
well, he didn't turn up. He was given to us by a Wellington child who was part of the Cult of Hades, who basically turned up and said, hello, we're the bad guys.
Yeah, and you shot
him. He was flanked by squizzards.
Yeah, and I shot him a bunch.
Yeah, and that's why he gave you Barrett to be like, hey, here's a present.
Well, don't teleport in with spooky robes, really.
He learned his lesson.
Yeah,
true. Except they did bite you in the... Never mind.
he gave us Barrett as a peace offering. And then Barrett ends up in custody in the Artemis temple in Damascus.
Yeah.
Yes. And then they are trying to work out where the water went. And so we follow that and we end up...
I think you might be going too broad in that one.
Oh. So we followed the water pipe that was...
You had the entire complex destroyed by a dragon.
Yeah, so once we nuked the complex, we went underneath it following water pipes.
Yes.
Yes.
We found the water. We found a simulacra factory where they were making the simulacra.
There were loads of traps that were really
loads
scary.
Loads of traps. There was some juice, and the Medusa was really easy and pointless.
It's true.
I thought you said some juice.
We bossed the Medusa. We destroyed the factory by shoving ore into all the moving parts.
And then a spooky voice said, "Hey, stop doing that, because we have people you know and love. Ha 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 ha."
It's like watching Ben just wipe his bum with years of work.
No!
You should have only given us an hour then.
I'm summarising.
Yes. So, and then all of us decided to go and get the hostages apart from Grizzop, who wanted to continue the job.
Doing the job.
And then at some point, Grizzop was in his pants.
So three of us went to Rome. Rome is the worst.
Rome is horrible.
And I had a sexy pants time with some sexy pants orcs.
Yeah.
That doesn't need more context, it's true.
So Einstein is around and helping us. He teleported us to Rome.
And then
so
stayed with us.
Three of us are in Rome with Einstein. Two of us almost die.
Yeah.
Like, almost.
Einstein got bitten. Actually got unconscious.
Yeah.
I was so worried.
You were all one roll basically off of team wiping.
Yeah. It was awful. But then Hammett
popped.
Yes, he did.
And then we assaulted the compound in Rome. Mm-hmm. We found some squizzards, but they kind of ran away. Oh, we met Ed. We met Ed again.
We've been
on the dirty side quest.
Yeah, Ed handsomed his way over.
Yeah.
And then we went to the palace, and then there was squirrely weird stuff.
There was a broken portal.
That was it.
So we tried to fight the squizzards that were there. They basically all ran away without letting us kill them, which was very rude.
Yeah, the appropriate reaction.
Yeah, there was this broken portal where we saw the hostages inside, but something was really weird about it. Ed ran into a portal and got trapped as well.
And then meanwhile...
Meanwhile, Grizzop's sorting out, trying to get this kill switch made.
Yes, Brother Templar of Hephaestus, because he was chatting to Wild and managed to sort out the fact that Wild was being constantly cursed and had probably almost died.
To be clear, the kill switch came from the paperwork that was recovered.
Yeah.
It was being made by Hephaestus people.
Yeah, and I threatened Barrett and he gave
It came from the paperwork in the safety deposit box.
Oh, I actually hadn't noticed that. Sorry, and Barrett told us about the plant where they're also doing simulac stuff in Japan.
Yep.
Wild's chasing that up, assumedly. And then, having done that, Grizzop was like, right, I need to get to Rome. Did some stuff bungling around with some really incompetent harlequins who were really bad spies.
It was fantastic.
And then met... What's her face?
Eldarion.
The one.
Yeah.
Who...
The elf.
Is also a dick.
and she did some planeswalking, and it was really sickening.
What's it called? The spell?
Planeswalking.
Dimension walk.
It's a whole thing. It's not worth diving into.
She did a more upsetting teleport to Rome.
Yep, that's pretty much what that simplifies
to. So Eldarion and Grizzop arrive in Rome and sync back up with the main party.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you're being chased by dogs, and then Hamid fireballed them.
And then Eldarion is like aggressively patronizing to
Sasha. Oh, none of us like her.
Yeah.
And so Sasha was like, "No, don't. What? Do you have anything you want to tell me?" And she was like, "No." So I assume there was no plot there.
Fact!
So we've been investigating the portal, not very successfully.
Eldarion says, "I can do this."
Yeah.
And does.
Yeah.
And as we're going in, she's like, "Oh, so time is going to be wibbly wobbly there. It's going to be really fast." And Sasha again says, "Do you have anything to tell me that explains why you're being like this?" And she's like, "No." Then we go there.
I think it's worth mentioning that there's five of us going in, and we know that there are five people inside. Mm. And she says she can only get 9 people back out initially. And when we point out the numbers don't quite work, she goes, "Oh, it's okay. I can cope with the extra.
Yeah.
I figured it out."
So we run around in the spooky place.
Really fast.
Really fast,
in initiative order, effectively, the whole time.
Like, basically, we know that every minute or so that we spend there might be a week or a month outside. So we're trying to be as fast as possible.
And we are as fast as possible. Yeah. We get everyone
Absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. You blitzed it.
Then Eldarion...
people. We save all the hostages.
Eldarion...
Could we just... About the fact that Sasha gets her first critical, like, flanking sneak attack damage in the whole game, rolls the max damage, and it all explodes on her.
Yes.
And so she dies again.
Because magic doesn't work and Rome's awful
and
all the rest.
She goes deep into negative hit points.
Yeah. It was terrible.
But then you just chuck her flask down her throat and are just like, "Get on with it."
And we do.
She's like, yeah.
So
Eldarion sends us back, but it turns out that Eldarion sacrificed herself to do it. Yep.
She steps out of the circle at the key moment of the ritual.
Nine
people can be sent back.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very sweet and confusing.
But what happens?
7 people arrive.
Yes.
Because Grizzop doesn't listen to instructions.
Grizzop opens his eyes, sees the literal hand of Hades trying to grab us.
Mm-hmm.
And then him and Sasha fail checks fall out of the circle.
And Grizzop was holding onto Azu's hand, so she felt him fall away.
Oh, yeah, Azu's fault.
Azu let.
Oh, yeah. She's so traumatised at this point. But she's not talking about it, because that's not what orcs
do. You've not really had time, because what happened immediately after?
So we arrive back and find a year and a half has passed and the world is at war with some sort of mysterious entity that is taking control of the bodies of people.
If only everyone had listened to Grizzop and just stuck with the immediate problems and just accepted that running to Rome was a terrible idea.
No, that was never going to happen. And Einstein's become like this amazing like stockpiler, prepared
He's
man.
Mad Maxed.
Yes.
So this is where we begin season four. Hamid and Azu are a year and a half in the future compared to where they thought they were.
And it's all
the world
all
is completely different. The world is at war with an unknown enemy that's taking people over, and everything is terrifying, and they've lost their two best friends.
Yep.
And they have no idea where they are. We
because
think they're dead.
They're definitely dead.
But in fact, the two of you...
We woke up in a Roman party.
A really good Roman party!
Yeah, with a big Roman orgy.
Yes.
So that's a whole thing.
And given that Rome was destroyed 1800 and something years ago, you're presumably in the past.
Yeah, one would assume.
Or things really pick up in the future. Like, everything really gets itself back together eventually.
Just, you know, like, these days the best parties are always in the, you know, weird abandoned kind of, like, Rome is party city.
We know almost nothing about what's going to happen in season four because everything is terrifying and Alex is a monster.
Yeah. So
but we respect his craft.
No, we don't.
Again, congratulations on picking the best episode to jump on. Basically, all of this is useful to know, but not strictly necessary.
Good luck decrypting that. There is a wiki.
Yes, so, and there is all of the
Come join Discord, ask our existing fans about what's happened. They'll do a great job explaining it. They're all lovely.
Binge it all.
7 out of 10 in that recap, you know, would GM again, but, you know... Few salient points which will come and bite you in the coming season.
We may not have forgotten them. We may have just decided to skip them for time and wrongly.
Sure.
I mean, that's certainly possible.
Jeremy, I remember.
Right, then I think we should wrap that up. You know, thank you if you've been listening to this recap and desperately trying to follow it. And if you're new to it, I promise, normally it makes a bit more sense and moves slightly slower.
Yeah.
It did take us a few years to get to this point.
There's a lot more sadness in the real time.
Oh yeah, super sad.
I mean, this is literally 4 years of playing this game. Not quite 4 years of airing it, but 4 years of playing this game.
You'd be astonished how much gets lost in translation between my brain and the world, but there we go. Right, I think we're going to wrap up there and we will join you all next week for some more magical fun times.
Yay!
Right.
Bye!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the Rust Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell. With me today, I have...
Ben Meredith.
Bryn Monroe.
Oh, for God's sake.
For God's sake.